South Asia Wired, regional stories with an international touch, and international news that touches the region. Hosted by Dira Sujan.
In rural India, its old system of clan councils forbid people from the same subcaste from marrying, seen as incest.
The recent upsurge in honor killings in northern India. In some villages, local councils pass death sentences against couples for marrying outside their caste or within the same clan.
Every year in India, hundreds of young women and sometimes men are threatened, tortured or killed over a case of honour. That means they wanted to marry someone outside their caste. Actually, most authorities can't put a real number on the victims of honour killings, as a lot of them are recorded as suicide. According to a recent study by the National Commission for Women, the vast majority of them take place in the northern states of Haryana, Punjab and UP, especially where Khap panchayats are active. These are village elders who are self-appointed guardians of the village. Young people who dare to fall in love outside their caste or religion can risk a death sentence, sometimes carried out by their own families. To tell us more, Chavi Sachdev is on the line from Mumbai. Hi, Chavi. You've been following this story.
Yes, I have. And I've been talking to people in and around Delhi, families of people who were killed because of these kinds of honor killings. And some of them didn't go on record, but I did get the story of a man called Gaurav Saini. Gaurav is 26, and he fell in love with a very well-educated, accomplished girl called Monica, and they met on the internet while they were both students. She came from a very conservative family, and when Gaurav and she started talking, she'd already told him that she was really afraid of her cousins and brothers and uncles finding out.
Actually, Monica Jat community ko belong karti thi.
Monica is a Jat, that's a higher caste, and her family, her whole village has a different environment. Her family never listened to her, and she grew up in an environment where her brothers used to regularly beat their wives. She'd tell me, today my sister-in-law got a fracture when she was pushed from the stairs. The women in her family couldn't go out alone, even to go to the market. For the smallest thing, they'd have to either ask the brother to buy what they needed, or when everyone went out, then they'd go shop together. It was pretty hard for her to survive.
Gaurav told me that Monica was beautiful, educated, she spoke 5 languages, and her father had let her study in an English language school, which is quite unusual for their conservative community. But when he died, her uncles were much, much stricter with her. So she kept their love affair a secret, and she and Gaurav got married in a temple because he thought that at least that bond would protect her. If her family came to take her away, he'd have a right as her husband to help her, protect her, get her back.
The day before we were going to register our marriage at the Delhi court, the UP state police came to my mother's house with some of her family. They tapped my phone. That's how they found us. I was taken to jail, and her family lodged a report against me on the charge of kidnapping a minor, even though she was 18 and legally an adult. They wanted me to sign a statement that I'd kidnapped her and was agreeing to never see her again. Finally, they let me see her briefly, and I asked her, is your family capable of killing us over this? She said yes. Then I asked her, are you willing to die for this? And she said yes. Those were the last words we spoke to each other. They took her away. They kept me in jail for many days, and when I came out, I went to her village looking for her, but I couldn't find her. Even the court sent a team looking for her. Her family claims she's dead, but the neighbors say it's not true. But at any rate, we can't find any trace of her.
So what happened, Chavi? What's the end of that story?
Well, the sad thing is that there is no real end to the story, because even today, Gaurav is waiting for her family to be prosecuted. He believes that Monica is still alive and that she's being held captive somewhere, perhaps married to somebody else, but he'll find her one day, and that's what's keeping him going.
And do you think that Monica is still alive?
Well, I'd like to believe that she's alive, but after hearing of so many cases where the girls are killed by their own families in a matter of honor, I suspect the worst, but it is the only thing that's keeping Gaurav going.
Do these cases ever get prosecuted? Is there anyone doing anything on this front?
Given that 90% of these crimes are perpetuated by the girl's family, there is not much of a record. I can't find a single number that says how many are prosecuted. There are estimated to be 1,000 such cases. deaths every year by NGOs who are keeping track. But this is just the tip of the iceberg, because who knows how many are not reported. A lot of the times the girl's death is not reported, or it's an accident. Like, for example, in Monica's case, they declared that she had died because of pneumonia. Otherwise, it's listed as a suicide. And there's no checks in the system. There's corruption everywhere. And I think it's fair to say that the police sometimes are working in collusion with the families. So the few cases that come to the attention of the media are all that's reported. And I guess there are groups that are working. There are lawyers who take on these cases to try to get them a fair hearing. And there's another group of people that formed an organization called the Love Commandos. They try to act where the system fails, so that they can protect young people who are in love with somebody from an unacceptable community and are in danger.
The Love Commandos, it's a great name, Chavi. Who are they and what do they actually do?
Well, they started as an ad hoc volunteer group protecting young couples on Valentine's Day. That's a whole different story. But this summer, because of the number of honor killings being reported in the news, they formed themselves into an organization with a 24-hour hotline for people in love. Sometimes they just provide information. There's a lot of misinformation and gaps out there. Many young people, they told me, call them, not even knowing if it's legal for them to marry outside the community. They've been told for so long that they can only marry within their community. So they give them information, they tell them what steps to do, and they even stage rescues and provide safe houses for people to stay in until after they're married. I talked to one of the founders, Sanjoy Sachdev, who told me what happened when they started the group in July.
Actually, when we started this helpline, when we thought of it, we thought that 100, 200 calls may come from Delhi and NCR. But since we started, the phone is ringing. It has crossed the figure of 1 lakh. But our first motive is to help these people, to save them. Many people are volunteering themselves, including engineers, professors, students, youth, female activists, artists, even small shopkeepers. Because we believe that if we think of a casteless society, the only way to achieve is to promote love and promote love marriage. There is no other alternative available in the world.
So they started with 2,000 volunteers who each pay a couple of hundred rupees a year to keep it running. And these volunteers come from all sorts of professions around the country, and they want to help people who are forbidden by caste or religion to marry. And sometimes if they need to stage a rescue, they do it. They arm their clients with perhaps a cell phone so they can call for help, pepper spray so they can escape from their families. And then they call in the police at higher ranks where it's less corrupt. When it's necessary, they call lawyers, they facilitate marriages, they even act as eyewitnesses when they're getting married.
Our Constitution Article 15 says that there cannot be any discrimination on the basis of religion, sex, and so on. But when the boy and girl are apprehended, instead of taking the girl to the court, the police first takes her to her parents. Why? It's a lawful marriage.
So these kids usually have no protection from the family or the community or even the governing bodies of their localities, the panchayats, or the head of them, the sarpanch. And they all know the police, their families know the district superintendents, local landowners. So even if the commandos call in the local police, they can't be guaranteed to actually stick to the straight and narrow path. Until the government really takes some action to protect people from their own families, they have nowhere to turn except people like the volunteers at the Love Commandos.
I want to tell the parents they should stop assaulting their children, because love begets love. They should not think that the youth are weak. If you want them to continue respecting, you have to give respect to their feelings also. And we believe this great country will live, and we shall be able to achieve the goal of a casteless society by promoting love marriages. That's why we say, प्यार करना पाप नहीं है, विरोधी हमारा बाप नहीं है. To make love is not a sin, and those who oppose cannot be our parents.
Chavi Sachdev in Mumbai, thanks very much for this story.
You're very welcome, Deera.
And that's it for the program this week. You can find photos and more on this story on our website. The easiest way of finding us is via the Radio Netherlands homepage, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, through the week, you can keep up with more stories from the region and my blog, all that on South Asia Wired. Goodbye.
You've been listening to South Asia Wired, hosted by Deera Sujan. This has been a Radio Netherlands Worldwide presentation.